14 and the verses 1 to 7. But John's Gospel, the chapter 13, commencing to read at verse 31 through to chapter 14, verse 7. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 31. Could we say that the scene is around the table at the time when the Lord is giving the instruction concerning the Last Supper, and he also has many important things to say to his people. And I believe that as we're around the table of the Lord this morning, and with the various subjects which are in mind here in this chapter, that it is a word in season for God's people. But we want to read from verse 31 of chapter 13 of John's Gospel. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go ye cannot come. So now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Amen. We know that the Lord would add his blessing to the reading of his word to our heart. This will, and the chapter 13 and 14, which we opened a little earlier and read to you, and with God's word open before us, we'll seek the Lord in prayer this morning. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come before thee. We still our heart in thy presence. And we pray that as we are found in thine house and in thy presence, that thou would speak to us from thy word. Thou dost know the need of our heart. Thou dost know the diverse needs, the various needs of each and every one. And we pray that thou wouldst therefore speak, and that we would hear the still, small voice of God teaching us, instructing us, giving to us a word in season. Lord, our prayer today is, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We pray that it might be a word in season, whether it be a word of reproof or rebuke, a word of correction, a word of instruction, or a word of encouragement. We pray that thou would speak to our heart. And so we come before thee now And we pray that thou would still us in thy presence, that we would be hearers and doers of thy word. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Could I direct you to the words which the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning? They're found in the first verse of John chapter 14. Words which have often been quoted, often prayed, often read, I'm sure, in this pulpit. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. That a man is born to trouble is not only a scriptural statement, but it is a fact of life. On every hand, we as creatures face trouble. The trials, the tribulations, the troubles of life envelop us as a great throng. Hardly a day passes by without some form of trouble or another crossing our path. Indeed, just as we seem to overcome one trial, another trial comes our way. And as we get beyond that trial, we find that more trouble seems to meet us head on. There are, of course, as we consider life, many types of trouble. There are health troubles. I know that in my own congregation, there have been many who, over recent days, have been told by doctors and by hospitals that they have been critically ill. And they have had to come to terms with the health troubles. Indeed, today is the anniversary of a young woman of 37 who passed away. She was buried a year ago today, leaving three young children. And so we have our health troubles. We have our home troubles. And certainly those who have families know, especially in this day and age, that it's a difficult thing to raise children. It's something that I believe we can't pontificate about simply because the trials and troubles that come our way are so different and our circumstances are so different. But as our children grow up, we have troubles. As they get into their twos and threes, which is often called the time of the terrible threes or the troublesome twosomes, we find troubles. As they go on in their school life, there are troubles and problems to face. As they become teenagers, my, the troubles increase all the more. And it seems to be that even when they go beyond those teenage years, well, they always provide those times of trouble for mum and dad. And then there's heart troubles. When things go wrong in a person's life, when through sin or through temptation, trouble comes. And we all have our troubles. Troubles that affect our body. Troubles that affect our mind. Troubles that affect our heart and our soul. And no one, not one person is immune to trouble. We all have our burdens to bear and we all have our trials that trouble us. Now in the passage before us which we read, the disciples are being brought face to face with the reality that the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to leave them. For 3 years, He has been their guide. For 3 years, He has been their teacher. For 3 years, He has been their friend. For 3 years, they have looked to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength, for support, for succor. And now He tells them that He is about to leave them. And even more troubling to them is the circumstances surrounding His leaving, because He tells them that He is going to die, that His life is going to be taken from Him. And one can imagine the fear that begins to grip the heart of the disciples. There is a gloom that descends upon their soul. There is a despair that fills their failing heart as they hear what is being told them and as they begin to realize the consequences of what they're being told. And realizing that what He has told them has troubled them, the Lord Jesus addresses the matter in the words of our text. Looking at those disciples troubled by His communication, looking at those disciples troubled by the circumstances that they're now going to find themselves in, the Lord, with His tender kindness and His loving care, He turns to them and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." And as He addresses their troubled heart, He gives to them advice. He gives to them advice for a troubled heart. And this morning, that's the subject that I want to bring to you. It is advice for a troubled heart from these words of the Lord Jesus. The first thing I would have you notice this morning is this. It was prompt advice. It was prompt advice. By that we mean it was timely. It was at the most appropriate time that the Lord Jesus Christ gave this advice to His disciples. You know, this advice, "Let not your heart be troubled," we don't need that when all is going well. In fact, when things are going well, we need slightly different advice. Instead of "Let not your heart be troubled," we would need "Let not your heart be filled with pride. Let not your heart be exalted above measure." But on this occasion, the advice is prompt. You see, when all is well and fair on the horizon, and when we are prospering, the danger is not of the troubling of our heart, but the danger is of the boasting of our heart. However, for these disciples, the advice was well timed. Their hearts were sinking as the Lord told them about what was going to take place. The seizing of their friend, His suffering at Jerusalem, His being slain at the hands of wicked men, and their being separated from Him were all causes of concern, and they were all things that were going to trouble their heart. And so, because of that, the Lord gives this timely advice. Because they're facing troublesome circumstances, because they're going to enter into a trial of their faith, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." And thus, the advice of the Lord Jesus Christ is observed to be prompt. It came to their heart at the right time, when they needed an exhortation about not being troubled. I found these words this week were a great help to me. It was on Tuesday, I received a phone call from a woman who doesn't belong to our congregation, though there is a connection. And she rang me up, and she didn't get me, first of all. She left a message on the answering machine. And I rung her back as soon as I had opportunity that morning, and she was crying. And she said, "Mr. Fitton, could you come and see me?" She says, "I need somebody to talk to." She says, "I just can't cope with the situation. I need somebody to speak to." And so I made arrangements to call with her when somebody else was in the home. But before I came off the telephone, I said to her, "Tell me something. What is the problem? What is the trouble?" She began to cry all the more. And she says, "My son has told me that he's gay." And she burst crying again. She says, "Mr. Fitton, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can cope." She says, "It's worse than a death. And I've seen people die in my family in recent days, and this is far worse." Well, you can imagine, having heard that, the first thing I had to do was pray. And you know, when I went to speak to this woman, these were the words which I gave to her: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." I was able to tell her that her own life needed to be put right before she could begin to cope, before she could begin to help advise her son. And friend, there are troubles come. There are troubles that come as great dark storms. There are troubles which we would rather not face. But yet there is prompt advice from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Is your heart troubled today? Is the doom and gloom and darkness of despair gripping your heart? Well, here's the advice of the Savior. Let not your heart be troubled. And then you'll notice that not only was it prompt advice, but it was practical advice. The Lord addressed their troubled heart with advice that was practical. His advice to the troubled heart was simply this: let not your heart be troubled. He said to them, do not be troubled. Do not let your heart be filled with perplexity. Don't be anxious about the situation. Don't fret yourself. And that advice is most practical when you consider a troubled heart. When you consider a troubled heart, you find that there are three things about it. First of all, there is the inability of the troubled heart. You see, when difficulties and problems come to a troubled heart, that heart will not strengthen your resolve. You see, a troubled heart will not strengthen you. It will weaken you. And when we come to face trials, when we face tribulations, when the struggles and storms of life come, we need a strong resolve. We need to be strengthened within that we might face the difficulty head on. But a troubled heart is a weakened heart. A troubled heart is one which will not stand against the adversity, which will not stand amidst the storm. And so the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled, because the troubled heart is unable to help you. Not only will it not strengthen your resolve, but it will not solace your spirit. You see, when trouble comes, we get down in spirit. When trouble comes, it's like that darkness which comes upon our soul. It's like that burden which presses down upon us, and it robs us of our joy. It takes away that praise which is in our heart. And yet, when we face trials and troubles, we need that solace for our spirit. And yet the troubled heart takes that away. So the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't have a troubled heart, because that troubled heart, taking away your strength, taking away the solace of your spirit, will not be able to help you in the trial that you face. And further still, a troubled heart will not solve your problem. As we have said, the troubled heart is filled with gloom. The burden falls upon it, the darkness surrounds it, and it cannot see light in the darkness. There's a place in North Wales, it's called Bethgelert, and there is a tunnel cut through the mountain. And I remember going there many, many years ago, and as you get so far in it, you couldn't even see your finger in front of your nose that close. It's pitch black. In fact, except you have a match, or you can flash a camera, or you have a torch, you wouldn't hardly be able to see your way. It's like the darkness that you could feel. You could hear somebody speaking, but you wouldn't know where they were. And you're surrounded by darkness. But what a difference it is when you get to a certain point and you see that wee pinprick of light in the distance. Suddenly you see the way out. Suddenly you see the way that you have to go. And that light gets bigger and bigger as you approach it. But you see, when we're in our difficulties and when we're facing our trials, darkness surrounds us. And the troubled heart keeps us in darkness. It stops the light penetrating within our heart and within our soul, and so we don't see the solution to our problem. We don't see the way out. And a troubled heart is unable to solve our problem. And that's why the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled, because you'll not have strength, you'll not have solace, you'll not have a solution to your problem if you have a troubled heart. And not only is there the inability of a troubled heart, but there is the inevitability of a troubled heart. See, there are two consequences to a troubled heart that are absolutely inevitable and which also show the practicality of this advice. What are those inevitabilities? Well, it is inevitable that a troubled heart will cause our sense of happiness to decrease. And it is also inevitable that a troubled heart will cause our sense of hopelessness to increase. So on the one hand, our happiness decreases, and on the other hand, our sense of hopelessness increases, and so we become into a place of despair. No joy. Everything miserable. Everything a burden. Till we find ourselves in a position where we say, there's no way out of this. I think of those sailors in the storm when it says of them, they gave up all hope that they would be saved. And a troubled heart will take us to that place where we lose that sense of happiness, where we lose that sense of joy, and where all we see is hopelessness. We give up all hope. We give up all hope. And so a troubled heart doesn't do us any good. A troubled heart doesn't help us. A troubled heart doesn't succor us. A troubled heart doesn't lift us out of the situation we're in. It actually takes us deeper into the situation. And then another reason why this advice is practical is the injury of a troubled heart. Troubled heart is injurious because it dishonors God. A troubled heart is a heart that looks to the situation and not the sovereign. It looks to circumstances and not the Creator. It is a heart that lacks confidence in God. You see, it's not a troubled heart we need, it's a trusting heart. It's not a heart that is filled with despair, but it's a heart that depends upon God and looks to Him. And for these reasons, this advice of the Lord Jesus Christ is most practical. Because a troubled heart is something which will not do us any good. It's a trusting heart we need. Let me say also that as we look at these words, it was not only prompt advice and practical advice, it was personal advice. Now, I'm not going to labor upon this point, but I believe it must be highlighted nevertheless. But when you look at the words of verse 14, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And in those words, you will find those personal pronouns. This advice is given to the disciples personally. The Lord wasn't speaking to the great crowd here. He wasn't speaking to all men. He was speaking to those who particularly had a troubled heart. To those disciples whose spirits were despairing. To those followers of Him who were facing this trial of their faith. He says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." And friend, today, if you are facing trouble, whether it's in the home, whether it's in your heart, or whether it's to do with any other thing, maybe even your health, then here is a word from Christ. It comes personally to you who has trouble in your life at this time. Let not your heart be troubled. This is a message from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Here is a word from the Savior of men, a word to the one who seeks to comfort your soul. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't despair. Don't despair. Many years ago, there was a man, and he came to a preacher, and he said to the preacher that he couldn't go on. There was a problem in his life, a trial he was facing, and he was despairing. Didn't know which way to turn. The whole problem was getting on top of him, weighing him down like a heavy burden. And the preacher said to him, "Well, what are you worried about?" He says, "Worry?" He says, "You know nothing about worry. If you had the problems I had, if you had the burden I had, you wouldn't have said that." He says, "Well, hold on a second. What is the worst that can happen to you? The man thought for a moment and he says, well, I could lose my job. He says, well, what is the worst could happen to you if you lose your job? He says, the worst that could happen to me if I lose my job is I wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage, I would lose my home. He says, and what would be the worst that would happen to you if you lose your home? He says, well, if I lose my home, there's a strong possibility that I could lose my family. And he says, well, what is the worst that can happen to you if you lose your family? He says, well, I might come to that place where I'm in total despair, and he says, I might not even be able to afford to eat. He says, what would be the worst that could happen to you if you can't eat? He says, well, I'll die. Well, he says, aren't you saved? He says, what's the worst could happen to you if you die? And the man realized, I go to heaven. What's it worth worrying about? At the end of the day, the worst that happens to the child of God is that we go to heaven. So why worry? Why not trust? And keep your eyes upon the Lord. And here the Lord is saying to you today, whether it's a heart problem, whether it's trouble in your health, whether it's trouble in your home, no matter what that trouble is, the Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And that brings us to the fourth point. And that is that this was particular advice. The Lord not only says, let not your heart be troubled, but he then adds the words, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Now if you divide those words, you will discover that the former words, let not your heart be troubled, in those the Lord Jesus Christ is exhorting us to prevent our heart from being troubled. He is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. He is exhorting us not to let our heart be troubled. But in these latter words, ye believe in God, believe also in me, he is now educating us in how we can prevent our heart from being troubled. And the means by which we can prevent our heart from being troubled in the most trying circumstances is twofold, and it's there in those words. First of all, faith. Notice the word believe. Ye believe, believe also. And faith is our resort in times of trouble. Faith is that which sees light at the end of that darkened tunnel. Faith is that which keeps our head above the waves in times of storm. Faith is that which finds a way where there appears to be no other way. And faith not only brings to our heart the blessing of salvation from sin, but it also brings to us the blessing of serenity in the storm and the blessing of a solution in our situation. It's by faith that we prevent our heart from being troubled. If you take time to look at Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter in faith, you'll find that there are numerous persons there mentioned, both male and female, who did things by faith. But if you really look at that chapter, you'll discover that the things that they did by faith were done in the most trying and most strenuous and most perplexing times and situations. Take, for instance, Moses' parents. By faith, Moses was head of his parents. They acted in faith. When did they do that? In a time of great trouble in the land of Egypt. Because Pharaoh had declared that all the male children of the Hebrews were to be thrown into the River Nile and killed. And so in the midst of a great trial, they acted by faith. They didn't despair, they depended. They didn't just fall down in the situation, but they had confidence in God. And friend, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the trouble is, no matter what the circumstances of life might throw up to you as an individual or as a congregation, my friend, keep the eye of faith. Keep looking to the Lord. Faith gives to us the victory again and again and again. Faith is the key. Faith is the answer. Faith is the advice that is given to a troubled heart. When you feel weakest, and dangers surround. Subtle temptations and troubles abound. Nothing seems hopeful and nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even time glad. What does the hymn writer say? He says, keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. Faith. But with that faith, there is a focus. Because the Lord Jesus says here, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And the faith that prevents our heart from being troubled is not a blind faith, but it's a focused faith. It is faith that is focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It is faith that rests upon Him. Now, I believe this is worthy of our notice this morning. Because it was His death and it was His departure from them that was the source of their trouble. And yet the Lord says, believe also in me. Their faith had to be focused upon a dying Savior. And friend, the faith that brings salvation to our soul is a faith that's focused upon a dying Savior. Tell me, why we're here this morning, is your faith upon a dying Christ? Do you look to Mount Calvary? Do you look to that Roman gibbet, that cross as it's lifted up? And can you say, by faith, in my place condemned He stood? He sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah! What a Savior! Hallelujah! He's my Savior. Friend, if you haven't said that, and if you can't say that, you need to trust Him. You might have everything in life. You might have education. You might have enjoyment. You might have an abundance of this world's wealth. But if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you have nothing. You have nothing. Because the fashion of this world is passing away. And if all that you have in life is in this world, you have nothing. It's faith in Christ you need. And salvation is by faith in a dying Savior. It is by faith that we who are born as sinners look to Jesus at Calvary as the sacrifice for our sin and as our Redeemer. And in like fashion, it is our faith in that same dying Savior that prevents our hearts from being troubled. Let me put it this way. If Christ, in the hour of His apparent weakness, was able to save our soul from sin, can He not now, from His position of strength upon the throne, solve our troubles and strengthen us in our trials? If in His apparent weakness He was able to save us to the uttermost, can He not, from His strength, able to help us in our trials? And able to help us in our troubles. And so our faith has to be fixed upon Him. Upon Him who is the dying Savior. Upon Him who is the risen Savior. Because in this passage, as you read through it, you'll discover that the Lord speaks of His resurrection because He tells them He will come again. The dying and risen Savior is the one that our faith ought to be focused on in time of trouble. When we focus our hearts upon Him in time of trouble, we no longer have a troubled heart. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Many years ago, when I was a young lad, I learned this weak chorus. It simply says, Christ is the answer to my every need. Christ is the answer. He is my friend indeed. Problems of life my spirit may assail. With Christ my Savior, I can never fail. For Christ is the answer to my need. May our faith be firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in closing, could I say that it was precious advice. For this advice, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. is precious because it was provided by Christ. Oh, all of God's Word is given by inspiration. But there are certain parts of God's Word which are particularly precious because of the very words which came from the mouth of Christ. And these are some of those words. Let not your heart be troubled. Words provided by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Not only are they precious because they were provided by Christ, but they're precious because they point to Christ. Believe also in me. In time of trouble, there's no better place to be pointed to than Him who is the rock of ages and the shelter of our soul. These words point to Him. That's why we've said we need faith and we need to be focused upon Him. It points us to a condescending, a compassionate, a consecrated, crucified, a conquering, and coming again Christ. Points to Him. And then they're precious because it proclaims Christ. The comfort that He gives is all about Himself. For He is our comfort. If you look at what He says in the next verse, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You notice that personal pronoun, I? The comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ was giving them was all about Himself. Because He is our comfort. He is our strength. And if there is one word I could say to you here in Coleraine this morning, it is this. Christ is your comfort. Look to Him. Christ is your comfort. Look to Him. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. The Savior says, believe also in me. May the Lord bless His word to our heart for His name's sake. Amen. Our Redeemer.